Good evening. I call the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee to order. Today is Thursday, February 5th, and the time is 5:17 p.m. Please silence all cell phones. We have the following members present. Representative Fales, Representative Foster, Representative Josephson, Representative Kopp, Speaker Edgman, Senator Giso, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Kawasaki, and a special welcome to our new member, Representative Colomb. Welcome.
Thank you.
And then myself, Senator Gray Jackson. So we have a quorum to conduct business. We also have been joined by, I thought I saw Senator Coffin, but I don't see him now. So, okay. I'd like to thank Sophia Tenney from House Records and Zachary Lawthorne from the LIO for supporting our committee this evening. I want to thank everyone for being here today. Please note that the Senators Stedman and Hoffman, they're out. They're attending to legislative business in Sitka today, and the House Finance Committee is taking public testimony on the fiscal plan, but I see that you're here. So thank you very much for being here, the members from the committee. Okay, are there any questions or comments before we get underway? All right, great. Vice Chair, we're not on agenda item two, approval of agenda. Vice Chair Fields, may I please have a motion for approval of the agenda?
I move and ask unanimous consent the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee approve the agenda as presented.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Seeing none, the agenda is approved. We're now on agenda item three, approval of the minutes. Vice Chair, may I have a motion for approval of the minutes?
I move the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee approve the minutes of the two meetings on November 19th, 2025, and January 20th, 2026.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. We are now at agenda item four, committee business. A top audit issues part two. This item is for discussion only and no vote will be taken. Ms. Curtis will walk us through a summary of the corrective actions addressing the Division of Legislative Audits top audit issues for fiscal year 2025. Ms. Curtis, please join us at the table. Welcome. And when you're ready, please proceed.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Chris Curtis. I am your state legislative auditor. So at the last meeting, I presented the FY25 top audit issues, and that is in accordance with the committee's relatively new audit finding monitoring process. So at that committee meeting, I was directed to request the status of corrective action from the various state departments for the 12 top audit issues. So in your meeting packets, I believe you have a copy of the matrix that summarizes the status of corrective action. The plan today is to determine whether some of these findings should be forwarded to other legislative committees for further consideration and follow-up. Now, the last column of the matrix shows which findings I recommend forwarding to other legislative committees. As noted in the matrix, I do not recommend following up on findings that are resolved or on findings that the Division of Legislative Audit will be following up in their annual financial and federal compliance audits. The issues ripe for further legislative consideration is Issue 6, which concerns the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs and the Department of Health not working together to bill $279.8 million of federal disaster grant expenditures in a timely manner, which resulted in lost investment earnings. Issue 7, which relates to the Department of Corrections overspending their FY24 budget. Issue 8, related to unaddressed budget shortfalls in three different state departments. Issue 9, which is the Alaska International Airport's struggle to produce audited financial statements for inclusion in the state's financial statements. Issue 10, which is the Division of Public Assistance, material internal control deficiencies, and material noncompliance with several federal programs. And Issue 12, a special audit of the Office of Children's Services noncompliance with foster care reform. Now, I'm happy to answer questions about these. And if there's no questions, I'll continue to work with the chair on formally referring these to the legislative committees that are identified in the matrix.
Thank you. I'd like to recognize that Senator Coffin joined the meeting at 5:20. Are there any questions for Ms. Curtis? Representative Kopp.
Ms. Curtis, thank you for being here. Can you tell us if the FEMA grant, did we eventually recover that money?
Yes. It's part of our ongoing audit. I can tell you that I believe that the department has finally billed for the revenues. I believe that is what my team has told me, but I think it would be a great item to follow up during the budget committees to find exactly the timing of that, because as we noted in our finding, I believe we estimated $1.3 million of lost investment earnings per month as we waited to bill.
So we could be how many months out on that now?
Yes, this finding, remember, is as of the end of FY24, and now we're in the middle of FY26. Okay. So following up that in the budget process would be a good venue to understand when exactly they build.
Thank you. Thank you,
Chair. You're welcome. Any other questions for Ms. Curtis? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Curtis. We are now on agenda item 4B, consideration of contract amendment Alaska Center for Energy and Power, also known as ACEP. Mr. Vice Chair, may I have a motion for the Alaska Center for Energy and Power contract?
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee authorize the legislature to add $100,000 to the existing Alaska Center for Energy and Power reimbursable service agreement for a total not to exceed amount of $150,000 and to extend the completion date of the RSA from June 30, 2026 to June 30, 2027.
Thank you. And I will object for the purposes of discussion. And then I'm going to ask my staff, Jeff Stubb, to provide a staff report on this issue. Thank you. Welcome, Jeff.
Good evening, Madam Chair. My name is Jeff Stepp. I'm staff to the chair. For background, the committee first authorized the reimbursable service agreement with the Alaska Center for Energy and Power, or ACEP, at its February 26, 2025 meeting for an amount not to exceed $50,000. To provide independent expert analysis on energy-related topics to support legislative decision-making. At the June 30th meeting later that year, 2025, the chair noted that the contract period would be extended into the following fiscal year with no increase to the original not-to-exceed amount, and if any additional funding would be needed in the future, a request would be brought back to the committee for approval during the forthcoming session. So here we are. The current request, reflected in the joint letter from Representative Fields and Senator Giesel, explains that ACEP completed multiple technical tasks in 2025, including original research, policy briefs, and testimony on issues such as LNG import facilities, rail belt transmission regulation, battery storage, load growth projections for the rail belt, and clean energy project licensing and permitting, and more. Legislators anticipate continued or even increased demand for that support this session throughout the interim and into 2027. Just as a reminder, ACEP provided a comprehensive report summarizing the work they have completed under this contract. We shared a link to that report with members by email on January 21st, and it's also posted on the LBNA committee website for easy reference by legislators and the public. It's common practice to carry an LBNA committee contract through the end of the fiscal year, overlapping with a new legislature, so consultants are ready to go when session starts without any delay. Accordingly, this request is to add $100,000 to the existing agreement for a total not to exceed amount of $150,000 and extending the completion date from the end of the current fiscal year to June 30th, 2027 to allow ACEP to continue providing their valuable analysis, briefings, and expert testimony as requested by the legislature. I'll also add that they're on standby right now in anticipation of this passing because there have been several additional requests for their services, but their bucket is empty at the moment. That concludes my staff report, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Jeff. Are there any questions or comments? Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I strongly support this extension of their contract and the funding for it. I'm at the onset of my 10th year chairing the Senate Resources Committee, and this agency, the Alaska Center for Energy and Power, has been indispensable in providing expert testimony, analysis, Madam Chair. They're just really outstanding, so I fully support this.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Therefore, I remove my objection, and if there are no other objections, I don't see any other objections, and the motion to increase the not-to-exceed amount to $150,000 and extend the completion date of the reimbursable service agreement with ACEP to June 30th, 2027 is approved. Thank you. We are now at agenda item 5, executive session. The committee will now be going into executive session for consideration of a contract amendment for outside counsel for a personnel matter and to discuss a legal analysis related to a concern about a potential conflict of interest, one of the legislators' contractors, also known as Gaffney Klein, our energy advisory. Mr. Vice Chair, may I have a motion?
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22B1, discussion of matters, the immediate knowledge of which would adversely affect the finances of government unit, and Uniform Rule 22B3, discussion of a matter that may by law be required to be confidential. The following individuals may remain in the room or online during executive session: Chris Curson, a staff from the Legislative Auditor, Emily Nauman and Megan Wallace with Legal Services, Karen Jones, partner from Stoll Reeves, Matt Armstrong from Baker Hughes, Zachary Lawhorn, moderator, will be helping us today with remote testifiers, any legislators not on the LBNA committee, and any staff of LBNA members.
Thank you. Are there any questions or any objections? Okay, if there are no objections, then the committee will now go into executive session, but we need to take a brief at ease while we clear the room. Brief at ease. We are now out of executive session and back on the record at 6:09 p.m. We have the following members still present: Senator Giesel, Senator Wilkowski, Senator Kawasaki, Representative Field, Representative Kopp, Representative Colom, Representative Edgman, and myself, Senator Gray Jackson. So therefore, we still have a quorum to conduct business. During the executive session, we discuss the topics listed on the agenda and will be taking action related to each of them. The first one was consideration of contract amendment for outside counsel for a personnel matter. Regarding the contract amendment for outside counsel related to a personal matter, I want to note that due to the confidential nature of personnel matters, we will not be providing public comment on the specifics at this time. Mr. Vice Chair, may I please have a motion?
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee approve an amendment to the Division of Legislative Audit's existing contract with Stoll Reeves, dated October 10, 2025, to increase the contract amount by $100,000 for a total amount not to exceed $295,000 for legal services related to a personnel matter.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Okay. Seeing none, the motion to approve an amendment to the Division of Legislative Audit's existing contract with Stoll Reeves is approved. We're now back to Gaffney Klein, conflict of interest, legal analysis. Mr. Vice Chair, may I have a motion?
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee authorize the Chair to amend the exclusivity and non-conflict of interest clause and any necessary related provisions of the committee's current contract with Gaffney Klein.
Thank you. I'm objecting for the purposes of discussion so that I can explain the intent behind this motion. I take questions about the independence of the legislature's consultants very seriously, and for that reason, we asked Legislative Legal Services for a formal review, which is included in the committee packet and posted on BASIS. One of Gaffney Klein's consultants, Mr. Fulford, addressed this matter in testimony before both the House and Senate Resources Committees, and we received a detailed written explanation from Gaffney Klein and his parent company, Baker Hughes, outlining the contractual obligations, confidentiality requirements, and internal firewalls they use to ensure their advisory work remains independent and insulated from any commercial activities. This letter was distributed to members and placed on BASIS for the public. After reviewing all of that information and absent evidence of any actual conflict affecting the committee's work, I'm comfortable that the consultant's analysis remains objective and professionally independent. But at the same time, I think it's reasonable and it's prudent for us to clarify our contract language so there is no ambiguity going forward. The motion before us, it simply authorizes the chair to amend the exclusivity and non-conflict of interest clause to better reflect the current circumstances and to protect the legislature's interests. And to me, that's practical housekeeping step. It's not finding any wrongdoing necessarily, but it's a sensible way to acknowledge the concern, strengthen our safeguards, and move forward. So finally, I want to be clear about roles. Consultants provide advice. They don't make decisions for us. They provide advice. The legislature retains full authority to evaluate that advice and determine what actions are in the best interest of Alaskans. So with that understanding, I support this motion as a reasonable resolution, and I'm happy to hear any comments from members. Ms. Naumann, Director from Legal Services, she is available to answer any questions. And Mr. Armstrong, we don't have to deal with that. Okay. All right. Any questions from anybody or comments? Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate you bringing this forward and having this public discussion about it. I appreciate Senator Giesel having the public discussion and raising this and flagging it for everyone. I know the public is concerned about this. I share the concerns. I'll just say from personal experience, we've had Gaffney and Klein as an advisor for at least 20 years in the state of Alaska. They, in my opinion, have always provided valuable advice. I've found their advice to be objective over the years. In particular, I remember we used them during oil tax discussions back in 2007. And at the time, they had clients who were producers, and they issued advice to us that, quite frankly, cost some of their other clients probably quite a bit of money. And they were objective. They didn't try to persuade us in any direction. They simply provided the answers to the questions that we needed. And so I think it's important for us to understand that their owner is Baker Hughes, who has an interest. But I still think the advice that they can provide us will be valuable and useful. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice Chair Fields.
I think this committee has approved consultant contracts for Pegasus and ASAP as well, so it's valuable to have multiple perspectives, and we'll be able to analyze those on their merits. So I agree with Senator Wilkowski, but I also think when the public looks at the work you've done, we will have multiple well-informed perspectives. Thank you.
Any other comments on this issue? Okay, I'll withdraw my objection. And are there any other objections? Okay, seeing none, then the motion to authorize the chair to amend the exclusivity and non-conflict of interest clause and any necessary related provisions of the committee's current contract with Gaffney Klein is approved. And thank you all for your input. We're now at agenda item 6, adjournment. Do any members have any comments before we adjourn? Okay, I want to let you know that we're planning to hold the next meeting in March. So we'll be reaching out to offices soon to check on members' availability. And I'd like to take a moment to thank Chris and her staff and Emily and Megan and also the hired attorney who was online answering questions on our behalf. And, of course, I want to thank my LBNA staff and, in particular, Jeff, who always makes it easy for me to do this job. But with that said, if there's nothing else to come before the committee, we are adjourned at 6:16 p.m.